Oh, hi, everybody. My name is Matt Storrs, and welcome to Mattsplaining. Today, I have an expert on who I'm very excited to talk to. Expert, please introduce yourself and tell us what you're an expert in.
Hi, my name is Rob Avey. I'm a comedian, and I'm an expert in Mortal Kombat, not taking a man's life with my bare hands with the video game.
I see. Excellent. I have played a lot of Mortal Kombat in my time, and my understanding of Mortal Kombat, I feel, is pretty broad and pretty specific in a lot of ways. So famously, there have been a number of Mortal Kombat fatalities, not necessarily in the games, which they are famous for the fatalities in the games, but also in the arcades where people have had competitive, like how kind of Johnny Cage is based off of Jean-Claude Van Damme, and Jean-Claude Van Damme was in Bloodsport. So a lot of people have been playing Mortal Kombat competitively, but to the death. So if you lose at the arcade, you lose in real life. And so that it's not as popular now because of the regulations by the states, but it is something that's still going on. It is the kumite of Mortal Kombat. So a lot of people, obviously with the Jean-Claude Van Damme connection, a lot of people don't know this, that every character in the original Mortal Kombat games actually has an analog that the character was based off of. So for instance, Sonya Blade actually based off of Meg Ryan, Keith David or Joe Pesci were actually originally intended to be the narrators of the game and kind of giving that gravitas to it. Abe Pagoda was actually supposed to be Shao Kahn. Shao Kahn famously is a very large, muscular man. Abe Pagoda, very much not. But they were like, oh, maybe Shao Kahn is like a mystical being that's very elderly. And then they're like, oh, no, we should probably try and make him a little bit more intimidating. And there was a lot of rivalry in the 90s between Jean-Claude Van Damme and Steven Seagal, famously, where Steven Seagal would be talking about how he could beat up Jean-Claude Van Damme. And so Jean-Claude Van Damme, is my understanding, started stalking Steven Seagal and then like going to parties and challenging him to a fight. Steven Seagal eventually got jealous of Jean-Claude Van Damme. And so he demanded that he have a character based on him in the upcoming games. And this is around the time of Steven Seagal's Lawman. And so this is when Steven Seagal was trying to be a sheriff's deputy in Arizona and got into a significant amount of legal trouble and kind of was belligerent, had gained some weight. And the character development people at NetherRealm Studios, they decided to put in a new character and base it off of Steven Seagal. So Bo Rai Chow, I believe, was based off of Steven Seagal initially. And then when Steven Seagal got word of what the character looked like, they had to change some of the characteristics to make it look less like Steven Seagal, and also changed up his fighting style to be the drunken style as opposed to the Steven Seagal kind of brute force style that they were originally going for. And a lot of people think that the Mortal Kombat ideas were about the violence. It's a big violent video game. There's a lot of blood, there's fatalities, but there's also babalities, there's also friendships, there's also animalities. And it was really the whole series wasn't about the violence, wasn't about the graphical capabilities, the motion capturing, the funneling money to these various actors, but it was really about getting the movie made and vis-a-vis getting the Mortal Kombat song out, because that song saved house music. And if it wasn't for the Mortal Kombat movie theme song, house music would have completely fallen apart in the mid-90s and into the 2000s, and we wouldn't have the amazing music that we have today. There, some people believe that we would not have been able to get Sandstorm if it wasn't for the Mortal Kombat theme. But the popularity, it kind of, not to be too reductive, but it was somewhat of a Sandstorm of this swirling, oh, we have Sandstorm, oh, we have the Mortal Kombat theme. And it's just like kind of turning into a twister of just pure talent and pure joy. Now, based on what you've heard so far, about how much of that would you say was accurate?
About 12%.
Okay, 12%.
Yeah, so the Mortal Kombat fight clubs at the arcades, fight to the death if you lost, were a lot more popular when arcades were still a thing. They actually, it wasn't the regulations that took them out. It's just that people don't really go to arcades very much. So now it's a lot harder to fight to the death on a console system, especially when you're playing online, because people aren't trustworthy. And that's a problem I have with society in general. If you say you're going to die at the end of the game, die at the end of the game. I don't want to see you online again a week later.
Right. Absolutely. I know that they have those immersive chairs now where like you get in them and like, if you get punched, you feel it. And everybody's like, oh, it's going to eventually become something where people are going to die in one of those chairs. But like, if that's what you want to do, then that's what you should be able to do.
Yeah, you should have the option. If you put on the chair, if you sit in the chair, you put on the full body suit and you crank it up to 11, I want to at least feel broken bones. Why would you even compete in a game like that if you're not going to feel it afterwards?
Right.
Now, the Ape Agoda thing, you're partially right on that, but Shang Tsung, the shape-shifting sorcerer, is who Ape Agoda was based on. And Mortal Kombat has a lot of secret characters throughout the history of the game. Rumor has it, for the right button combination in Mortal Kombat 2, you can actually change into Ape Agoda for a few seconds. He has no special powers, but he does look at the camera and give a smirk and then change back into Shang Tsung.
Fantastic.
Now, the Seagal Van Damme thing, that's a long running battle that does take place in the Mortal Kombat video game was originally based on Bloodsport, and Van Damme is a huge part of Bloodsport. And when they couldn't get the rights, they did make Johnny Cage a very Van Damme like character. The reason Johnny Cage is such an area asshole in the game is because Van Damme would not give him the rights to make a Bloodsport game. Seagal also wanted to be in the game, and Bo Raichu's actually looks exactly like Seagal. I don't know if you've seen him. They do a lot of special effects work on any of the Seagal movies to make him look thinner, but he is a long-haired, overweight drunk in most situations.
Okay.
He was only in two games, though, and Johnny Cage has been in almost every game, proving that Van Damme has the more popular career. And this year, if you pre-order the game, you get a Johnny Cage skin, one of the costumes, where he is Van Damme. He even speaks with his voice.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah, it's great. It only took them 30 years to actually get him to be in one of the games. So I'm pretty sure Ed Boon, the creator, was happy about that. I think if he was going to retire, he should retire after getting Van Damme in the game.
Yeah, that's a good culmination, I feel.
Yeah, it's a nice little crown on a cap after all the hard work that he's put in. The Mortal Kombat theme song from the movie, you've said everything that needs to be said. That's the 12% you got right. I'm pretty sure that the creators of Mortal Kombat are time travelers that had to go back to create the game so the movie could become a thing. I don't think dubstep would exist without the Mortal Kombat franchise, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Or any of the offshoots, House, Happy Hardcore, you name it. And if you've ever been to a late night rave in a warehouse or in the middle of a forest somewhere, once you hit about 3 o'clock in the morning, every person at the rave looks like Mortal Kombat characters, the way their bodies move back and forth. Mortal Kombat character you're not playing if you're just letting it sit and letting the time run down. They only really have two moves. So I love that. I think I like Mortal Kombat so much because it's a metaphor for life. You kind of touched on it. Of course, there's going to be fatalities. Nobody makes it out of life alive. But in that time, there's also going to be friendships and your babies, maybe not for me, but for some people, there's babies, and it's your choice. And the basis of the game really is a battle of good versus evil. There's 12 games, and every one of them basically follows the same storyline. There's a hand-selected group of warriors from the Earth realm trying to defeat the warriors from the Outworld so that the Outworld doesn't take over Earth. But when it comes down to it, it just boils down to it's good versus evil. And I think it brings people together. The reason I even started playing Mortal Kombat originally is because me and my older stepbrother, I was 11 at the time and he was 17. We had nothing in common, but I learned in school how to do a fatality from this kid, Jeremy Jones, still remember to this day. And then when I came home, he was playing the game and I showed him how to do it. And that's how we became close originally. So I
Hell
think that's the
yeah.
reason I love Mortal Kombat, because it brings people together. To this day, if I see Mortal Kombat, I think of him.
Absolutely. That reminds me of I remember when I was a little kid and playing Mortal Kombat and trying to figure out how to do the fatalities. And then with Mortal Kombat 2 or 3, they changed how you did the stage fatalities. And so you had to do a different uppercut to get the character to be thrown into the pit or whatever, and people were hanging out together trying to figure out how to do it. And then once somebody finally figured it out, it was this big revelation, and the kid had street cred, so to speak, of oh my, yeah, it was just wonderful.
Or each person that you knew in school had their favorite character and they learned everything about that character. And then you would share information before the internet even existed, really. I mean, it was there, it was dial up, but one kid would know everything from Scorpion and he would tell you, like, these are the special moves, these are the fatalities. And you would just build your own knowledge base on a groupthink level. And I think that's lacking nowadays, because the game comes out and instantly all the moves are available online.
Right, there's tutorials baked into the game about how to do these moves and everything like that. So that community aspect is a little bit limiting, but then you have the online play, which I think kind of builds around the community aspect. It's kind of shifted to more consistent fighting and everything.
And I don't really watch video games online very much, but I know there's a whole subset of people that love to watch people play video games. And I even catch myself watching people play in these high profile tournaments and being in awe, watching it almost like it's a sport,
Oh,
which I
yeah.
never thought I would be that guy. Because as a kid, I always wanted to be the one playing. But I catch myself on YouTube randomly watching these high level Mortal Kombat players play these games, and it's amazing what they can do.
Absolutely amazing. It's just their ability to anticipate what their opponent is going to do and adapt is just so fantastic.
Yeah, down to the very frame by frame, it's insane, and I'm happy for them. I know it's cliche at this point, but my mom always told me to play less video games. There's no future in video games. But some of these, there's a guy, Sonic Fox. He's the best Mortal Kombat player, and I think he made $500,000 last year playing in tournaments, and
Oh
that's
yeah.
amazing to me.
Yeah, it's amazing what people are capable of and how much we've been able to connect to the joy that everybody kind of shares. 'Cause even when I was a kid, if I saw some guy was I wasn't the best Mortal Kombat player, but if I saw somebody who was really good and maybe we were doing a little tournament, if somebody beat me, I'd get frustrated initially, but then I would watch them and be like, oh, this is really cool. That person's really good. And just get that kind of joy out of oh, so that's how they did that. That's how they're doing that. And I feel like we're able to do that in such a larger scale now.
Oh, for sure. And watching people, you learn little things that you didn't realize before. And I think that definitely has expanded to the internet for sure.
So do you still play Mortal Kombat today? Or are you planning on picking up the new game?
Yeah, I'm definitely picking up the new game. So I usually play through the story mode, and I play a few online matches when a new game comes out. But besides that, life is busy, so it's really hard to play regularly. But I try to play it. The game comes out on the 19th. I'm definitely gonna play it all the way through.
Excellent. Do you have a main character that you use?
Scorpion.
Scorpion, it's always been Scorpion.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Scorpion, I just love.
I mean, I can understand that. Have you dabbled into any of the other characters, or are there any characters that you just absolutely despise?
Okay, so Boraichu, the Seagal-based character, he was always too slow in the games that he was in. But yeah, Scorpion, any of the ninjas really, Reptile, Sub-Zero, Smoke, Noob Saibot, I like them all. Maybe my love isn't Mortal Kombat. Maybe I just have a love for ninjas.
Yeah, I mean, ninjas are pretty cool. My main was, well, I guess it was in 3 he was in it, or 3 or 4, but I started using Rain.
Yeah.
Yeah, loved Rain, Purple Rain, the Prince reference.
Yeah, I'm so
But
glad for that.
yeah, it's just that's great. And then they went with it though. They're like, oh, this is a joke character, but yeah, we can kind of make them, we can have fun with them. And It was just like, oh, this is a fun, you have water, you have lightning. This is just a delight. It's wonderful.
I think that's one of the reasons I love Mortal Kombat so much is because the creators have a sense of humor about it. And back in the day, like the Mortal Kombat 2 at the end, it showed how many times people played every character. And there was a character, the last name said Air Mac, and it was error macros. It was basically how many times the game forced itself to reset. But people stipulated that it was a secret character. So they threw a secret character named Air Mac into the next game.
That's so fun.
Yeah, now he's a huge part of the lore and he's a full-fledged character. But I love the two creators, Ed Boon and John Tobias, because they'll do things like that. They'll put in little Easter eggs and little winks for longtime fans.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's so it's just ideal in terms of like a creative endeavor to just be like, oh yeah, like how you interpreted it was different. Like, well, we made a mistake or there's some lingering thing, and being like, instead of being like, oh, we got to fix that or whatever, it's just like, oh, cool. We'll build off of what the fans have put together and make something new. And I just think that that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And you can tell that they love the franchise as much as the fans do, mm-hmm. which I think with any successful anything, you should really love it as much as the people that you make it for. Because if it becomes just a job, the love goes away, and then you can see that affects the quality of the work.
Absolutely. Rob, this has been absolutely fascinating and so insightful. If people want to learn more about Mortal Kombat or learn more about you, where would you recommend that they look?
So if you want to learn more about me, my Instagram, Rob, R-O-B dot maybe, M-A-E-B-E, is where you can find all things Rob Maybe for the most part. And as far as Mortal Kombat goes, NetherRealm Studios that make Mortal Kombat offers a full wiki for all the little tidbits that you may have missed. And if I've never been a live streamer, but starting with this Mortal Kombat, I'm going to live stream the whole game as I play it on nice. Twitch, twitch.com/maybelive, M-A-E-B-E-L-I-V-E.
Nice. I'm going to definitely tune in for that. I think that that's going to be a lot of fun. Are you going to be on video too?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be great. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. I think people will really enjoy it.
I hope so. I just think the idea of being able to watch somebody that was comedic in nature experience something for the first time that they've loved for 30 years, I think it could be fun for the people that like that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Rob, thank you so much for joining me today. I really, really appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me, buddy.
My name's Matt Storrs, and this has been Matt's Blaming.
Before we go today, I want to thank Ryan Lawson, my dear friend and all-around okay guy, for making the theme music for Mattsplaining. And if anyone needs music production or mixing services for any of their projects, Ryan can be reached at beatblenderstudios@gmail.com or at beatblenderstudios on Instagram and TikTok. And frankly, you should check him out on those apps just for the amazing music-related content. He makes some absolutely beautiful music, and you should definitely check him out. And one final thing before I let you go, I just want to thank you for listening to the show today. I hope you learned something, and I hope that you'll join us again next week when we'll have a brand new expert on talking about their area of expertise. My name is Matt Storrs, and this has been Mattsplaining.